Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomis Daf Kuf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will start from the top line of Daf Kuf Vov. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Chalitza Muta'as. The word Muta'as has as its root the idea of to'us, a mistake. And as far as what chalitza mutas is, so that we will see very shortly in the Gemara. It's basically a chalitza that's done under, we'll say, mistaken circumstances or subterfuge-type technique, and it is successful. Tonu Rabbanan. Chalitza mutas kshera. So we have a Tanaic source that tells us at this that the top of Kuvav that a chalitza done under to'us circumstances is effective. A zohi chalitza mutas. What is meant by that? Omer Reish Lakish. You'll notice we note that he is number one. Rabbi Yochanan will challenge him and later present us with his opinion. That's number two a few lines later. So, Amar Reish Lakish, Kol Sha'imrim Loi, any situation where we tell the Yavam, the brother-in-law, Chalotz Ubekach Ata Koinsa. Do Chalitza, and with this, you will be marrying her. So let's assume that we're dealing with a situation of a Yavam and Yavama that we don't want them to really get married. But he is insistent on marrying her. So we want her to be free to marry someone else. So in order to encourage him to go ahead with the chalitza, we tell him, if you do the chalitza, you will thereby acquire her. And that is supposedly, according to Reish Lakish, an effective chalitza that will free her. Omar lay Rabbi Yochanan, Ani Shone, and I have the following teaching, which contradicts what you say. Here we have a Tanaic source that says, Bein Shiniskaven Hu, Velo Niskavno Hi, if he had proper intention of Chalitza being a release mechanism, but she does not, Bein Shiniskavno Hi, Velo Niskavno Hu, or she has the required intent, but he does not, Chalitza Sapsula. The chalitza is ineffective until both together have the proper mindset, the proper intent that the chalitza is a release device. V'at amris chalitza sekshera, and you say where you mislead, it will nevertheless be an effective means of release, of releasing her to marry someone else. Ella, rather, says Rabbi Yochanan, Kol sha'imrim lo chalotz lo almenas shetitein loch mosayim zuz. Do chalitza with her in order that, or on condition that, she will then pay you 200 zuz. In other words, you have money to make in this, so go ahead and do it. So that's chalitza mutas. And what we're focusing on right now is the realm of conditions, tnoyim. What we're going to end up saying is that the condition was stated and the chalitza is done and she will not have to come through in paying him because the tnai, as stated, is the tnai and the rules of tnai as presented here in the context of chalitza do not conform to the official rules of condition making. And therefore the condition is void and the action remains, the action of chalitza. Tanyo Nami Hochi, and we have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Chalitza Mutaz Ksheira, the Chalitza done under, we'll say, misleading circumstances is nevertheless effective. A Zohi Chalitza Mutaz. What is an effective Chalitza? What's a Chalitza Mutaz that's effective? Kol Sha'oimrim Chalotz Lo Amanas Shetitein Loch Mosayim Zuz. Any situation where Chalitza is requested with the condition that she will pay him, the brother-in-law, 200 zuz. Umaisa bishacha shenof lufnei yovam she'ein hogula. There was an incident where a woman became a widow and confronted a brother-in-law, surviving brother of her husband, that wasn't fit for her. The omru lo, and we told him chalotz lo. Al menas shetite loch masayim zuz. Do chalitza, and that way you'll make yourself 200 zuz. She'll pay you 200 zuz. Ubo ma'is lefnei Rabbi Chiya v'chshira. And this incident came to Rabbi Chiya's attention. He said that this was a legitimate way of encouraging him to do chalitza. Now Rashi fills in a lot of information. Let's look at it together. Rashi at the top line: Al menas shetite loch masayim zuz, v'afa gav de lo yohav ole chalitza sekshera. And even if she doesn't pay him the 200 zuz, the chalitza nevertheless is kosher. Kine meforsh b'ksubas b'madir, as it's explained in Maseches Ksubas in the seventh parak of that tractate. The chol tnai mibnei gad mibnei ruvein gamrin are all rules of conditions we learn from the biblical incident involving the 2.5 tribes, the tribes of Gad and Reuven, and there was also a half of the tribe of Manasseh that did not want to come into the land of Israel, but nevertheless they had to fight along with their brethren in capturing the land and conquering the land from the Canaanite inhabitants. So a deal was made between them and Moshe Rabbeinu. The rules of condition making are learned from that passage. Tno she'efshur la'asos al yedei shaliach, a tnai, if it is capable of being established through an emissary or through an agent, she'osa Moshe es Yeshua shliach losuslem es eretz gagilod. So have a tnai tna, a condition that can be carried out through an agent, as was the case in Moshe Rabbeinu, who appointed Yehoshua to be an agent for the distribution of the lands that those 2.5 tribes had requested in exchange for their fighting alongside their brethren in mainland Israel. So if it can be done through a shaliach, then it's a legitimate tnai. B'chol tnai d'loev shalos asayidei shaliach, and a tnai, a condition that cannot be executed through an agent, kagon chalitza, as is the case in shoe removal. The brother-in-law can't appoint someone else to have a shoe removed from his foot, and that would be the equivalent of it being removed from the Yovam's foot. That's ridiculous. So, and likewise, some other woman cannot be appointed to do the shoe removal. The Yavama herself has to do that. So a tanai that's like that, or a condition that's built into something like that, that's love society shlach kagon chalitza ain tanoi moyel ba. The condition is just ineffective. Vezehu tamu shadover, and this Rashi insists on this is the reason why a chalitza mutas is kosher, and the tanai, the condition that was built in, simply doesn't even get started. So you have the tanai is batel, and the mice is kayim, and the obligation remains, and it remains unconditionally. So in our case, the chalitza is a chalitza, and the condition simply is illegitimate. It doesn't conform to the rules of condition making. Therefore, you're left with just the chalitza without the condition. We continue in the Gemara, and on the side we have a mivne, a structural note, which features a bow tie. You'll see this bow tie here, and a few lines later another one. And on the side of the Gemara, under the mivne, we've indicated shnei maisim shanose shalahem chalitza mutasu, two stories where the theme in these two stories has to do with a chalitza mutas. The Gemara. Note, by the way, we have a length marking indicating the length of each one of these maisim. Hahu da'osu l'kamei d'Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba. A situation came to Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba v'omar lo biti amodi. And Rabbi Chiyo says to the Yevoma, literally, I want you to stand, but it means I want you to do Yibum with him. Omra le imo. The mother of the Yevoma, of the widow, the mother of the widow says, Yeshivasa zuhi amidasa. Her non-doing of the Yibum is the way to preserve hers, is for her benefit. Omar lo yadisle. So Rabbi Chiya says to the mother, you know the brother-in-law? You know your daughter's yavam? Omra le in. I know the guy. Mamoinahu dechazala. He has his eyes on her money. The kaboy lemichle mino. And he wants to take her in to marry her in order to consume her money. Omar lo, lo nichaloch. So Rabbi Chiya says to her, is it something then that is not to your liking? Omra le lo, it is not to my liking. Omar le. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says to the Yavam, chaloitz lo ubekach ato koinsa. Do chalitza, and with that you will be marrying her. Well, we saw this above as Reish Lakish's explanation of Chalitza Mutas. You can see in this Gemara in a moment that it's not an effective Chalitza. However, something happens. Lebosser the Cholatzla, after the brother-in-law heard that by participating in the shoe removal ceremony, he thereby is marrying her, so he went ahead and did that, and after he allowed his shoe to be removed, Omar le, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, Hashta minoch ifsalo la. She, with her removing your shoe, so she becomes posel to you. She can't yet marry out because we said it's not an effective type of chalitza, so she's not free to marry out. But something did happen as a result of her removing the shoe under the misleading circumstances. She becomes posel to him, as a chalutza is. A chalutza is a woman who is released from the brother-in-law bond. So now that you are posel to him, or she is posel to you, chalutz lo chalitzim al yisal ki echi de tishteri lama. Now do a positive chalitza with the right chalitza intentions in order at least to free her to marry someone else. You, in other words, you've got nothing to gain right now because she's become puzzled to you. At least free her completely that she can marry someone else. And now we have another story. Bas chamua d'rapapa naflo lifnei yavam shein hogun la. The bas chamua is the daughter of Rav Papa's father-in-law. And this woman... In effect, it's most likely then Rav Papa's wife's sister. It's the daughter of Rav Papa's father-in-law. So he saw this woman that became a widow, and the Yavam was not fit for her. That's Lifnei. She fell Lifnei Yavam Shein Hogun La. Also Lekamei Dabaye. Omar Le. Chalotz Lo Ubekachat HaKoinsa. So the case came to Abaye's attention, and the Yovam apparently was, as we saw before, he was not interested in releasing her. So we used this subterfuge and said, do chalitza with her, and with that you'll be marrying her. Omar le Rav Papa. So Rav Papa heard Abaye's suggestion, and Rav Papa says, lo savar lo amor lo hod yomar Rabbi Yochanan. Did you not hear that? Don't you hold from that which Rabbi Yochanan said above, that it's not considered a good chalitza until they both have kavona, release kavona? And this Yavam isn't operating through release kavona. He's thinking that by doing the chalitza he's going to be marrying her. So Rav Papa challenges Abaye. V'yela hechi emolei. So Abaye asks, so what should I say to him? Omar Leis, Rapova says, Chalot Slo, Amenashiti Loch Masayim Suz. Do Chalitza, and that way you'll make money. Labosar, the Cholat Slo, Omar Lo, Zil Havle. After the Chalitza took place, so Abai says, well, he says to the Yavoma, you have to pay him. Omar Le Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, she doesn't have to pay him. Mishate Anibach of Dole. Mishate, from where Shote is something foolish or fooled him. She fooled him. This is an idea of a person having said something and then claiming that his original comment, his original statement or offer was a joke. Milo Tanya, do we not have precedent for such a claim and such a legitimate claim? Imagine a person is an escapee from a prison. And there was a ferry to get across a river in front of him. He needed to get across and he was desperate to escape. And the escapee says, Tol dinar v'avireni. Take a dinar, which is in this context a lot of money, to get him, to ferry him across. Ein lo eloscharo. The boatman, the owner of the ferry, can demand only the value of the actual trip. Even though the escapee told him, take a dinar, which is much more, he can't press charges for that, or press a claim for that amount. All he can ask is his schar, his actual wage. Alma, we see from here, Alma le mishata nibach, that is a legitimate type of claim. I was just kidding when I said I was going to pay you so much. Hachanami, with the Yavam as well, mishata nibach, she can say, oh, I just wanted to get released, so I said I would pay you the money. But I was just kidding. Omar le avu hechoswa abaye. He's listening to this to Rav Papa, basically answer up everything that Abaye is trying to say and claim. And you see that Rav Papa, as I say, is diffusing everything Abaye is attempting to put forward. So Abaye asks Rav Papa, where is your father? My father's in town. Where's your mom? My mom's in town. This is an expression which has much deeper connotations, but Abaye felt that Rav Papa was very sharp, and that was a result of his parents having taken extraordinary good care of their boy Rav Papa, enabling him to learn with a sense of peace of mind. And Abaye himself was someone that was an orphan from birth, and you might say there's a sense of I don't know if it's accurate to say a sense of jealousy or a sense of enmity, but Abaye felt outdone by Rav Papa, and that was a result of Rav Papa's parents. So Rabbi gave them what's it called, the rabbinic look. He set upon them his eyes, Ushivan, and they died. Of course, we gave you a very simple translation, a little bit of background to it, but there's something much deeper over here. If we just glance at the Rashi, Avu Hecha Klomar Kimedumani, we're looking at Rashi about halfway down the page. Rabbi says, it appears to me, Sheyesh Lecha Av Aim Smuchin Loch L'Sapek Tzorchecha L'Fiko Kol Mechadedin Shmaitzach. It looks to me that you have a father and mother who are very diligent and caring for you, and therefore you're able to learn and become very sharp. And this aroused Abaye's piqued his emotions, if you will, his concerns, and he then, as we say, Yav Bu'ene, gave them the rabbinic look, and they die. Tonu Rabbanan. And we actually should glance at the side. We have a topic heading Chalitza and Get. We'll mention Chalitza and Get in this discussion. Get, a divorce document. Mutas. One is the case of them doing being done under these misleading circumstances, or Ma'useh, forced. Kaifen Oisoi Ad Shiyoma Rotsani. And we'll see that in forcing things, we force a person to do whatever we want him to do, and we apply pressure, we'll say, to the individual until he says on his own, I really want to do this. This idea of pressing a person to the point that he comes out saying, I really want to do this, has manifests itself in different areas of halacha. So now we continue in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Chalitza Mutas Kshera, Get Mut'ah Posel. As we saw before in Rashi, the conditions that one makes concerning Chalitza, since it cannot be done through an agent, so the condition really never gets off the ground. And the basic action of the chalitza and what it's designed to accomplish works. The get, on the other hand, in contrast, a divorce document is something that can be done through an agent. The giving of the get can be done through agency. And therefore, circumstances or conditions that are built in will be binding. And if they're not fulfilled, the get will be a puzzle. Chalitza ma'useis psula get ma'use kosher. Ma'useis has to do with something that's forced. So chalitza done under forced, pressured circumstances is not effective. A get, on the other hand, is kosher. Hechi domi, focusing on the issue of ma'usa, force. What do we mean by that? Ida omar roitzani, if you have forcing that results in the person saying, yeah, I want to do this, I really want to do it. Afilu chalitza nami, even in the case of chalitza, it would be kosher. V'ilo omar roitzani, get nami lo. And if the fellow, the man doesn't say, I really want this, then even by get, it wouldn't be kosher. So what's the case of Ma'ruse, of forced? Hachi ka'omar. So now we read a restatement of the source. Chalitza mutas le'olam kosher. Chalitza done under total circumstances is always going to be effective. The get mutah le'olam posel. The get, in contrast, if it's under total circumstances, will always be ineffective. Chalitza ma'ruseis v'get ma'ruseh. With regard to ma'ruseh, something that's forced, as opposed to mutas, which had to do with misleading circumstances or conditions, mostly has to do with force. So the chalitza ma'useis and get ma'use, zimnin kosher or zimnin posel. Sometimes it'll be effective and sometimes no. Ha di omar roitzani, or the loma roitzani, where the individual who was being pressed said, I really want to do it. So then it's kosher. If he doesn't say roitzani, then it's not kosher, it's posel. Desanya. And here we have another source, another area of halacha, Tanaic source featuring sacrifices. When a person brings a sacrifice, he's supposed to bring it willingly, not under duress. So it says, Yakriv Osoi, the sacrifice is offered. Malamid Shekoifin Osoi. Yakriv Osoi implies that we can force someone. Yochol Baal Korcho, does that mean against his will? Tamar Lomar L'Rutzoinai, it has to be with his consent. So how do you have a situation where someone is forced and it's with his consent? Ha'ketzad, how do you resolve these two things? Kaifen Oisai Ad Shiyomar Oisani, we force him until he says, I really want to do it. V'chein Atamotze Begite Noshim, Kaifen Oisai Ad Shiyomar Oisani, we find the same thing with divorce documents, that a person can be forced, but if he says, I want to do it, so that gives it acceptability and credence. And same thing as we said here with regard to sacrifices. If a person is obligated to bring a sacrifice, in order to motivate him, we might force him. But he has to come out and say, Roitze ani. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. A double underline appears, and that will emphasize the name Rava. And Rava is Matzig Shtei Deois Im Cholzin Mema'anin Afapi She'ein Makirin. We're going to talk about the issue of chalitza and mi'un. Mi'un, a topic we've discussed in recent shiurim, where a girl is married rabbinically to a man through her brother or mother having married her to this individual. Up till the age of 12, she is able to walk out of the marriage through mi'un. Mi'un meaning an expression of her lack of desire to continue with the man. The man meaning her husband. The issue of can chalitza or mi'un be done in the presence of onlookers of a beis din, even if they don't know, they're not familiar with these, with the people. In other words, they don't know whether they are in fact the couple, whether this is a Yavam and Yavama. The house shape will be used to highlight the expression lefikach. Nafka mina, whether they recognize or not, will play a role in baha, nafka mina baha d'li'el, a practical result of that which we just mentioned. Haim eitim yecholim lichtov get mi'un o get chalitza. Can witnesses then prepare a document certifying that mi'un took place or chalitza took place, afal pi she'ein ha'edim makirin, even though the witnesses do not know the couple? So now let's try to bring this down to more practical terms by going into the Gemara. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Schoram Rav Huna. Here you have Rava quoting Rav Schoram. The next statement of Rava will be Rava representing his own opinion. But here you have Rava quoting Rav Schoram. Chilsin afapishen makirin. Chalitza can take place in front of the required number, let's say the required number of three, in front of the beis din, even though the members of the beis din don't know them to be a chalitza couple, meaning a yavam and yavama. Mimanin afapishen makirin. Likewise, miun can take place between the two, even though they don't know for sure that this is the wife of this man. Lefikach, because the ceremony of chalitza mi'un can take place without the recognition of the beis din, ein therefore ein kisvin get chalitza elo im kain makirin vein kisvin get mi'un elo im kain makirin. Therefore, witnesses cannot write a document certifying the chalitza or the mi'un unless they, the witnesses, do know them to be a couple. With these documents, of course, a chalitza document or mi'un document, that will enable her to then marry the next husband. So in order to ensure that everything is legitimate, if the original ceremony can take place without the recognition of the judges, therefore the witnesses who prepare such a document will have to, yes, recognize them as a yibum or mi'un couple. And this is a result of the chayshinon lebeizdin toin, because we worry about, we factor in, we take into consideration that the second court, the next court in which this couple will want to marry someone else, will think that the first court wouldn't have certified the mi'un unless they had recognized them. We take a look in the Rashi. Chayshinon lebeizdin tayin. Im kosfu la edim, if edim would write, ro'inu she cholza b'fonenu miploni, vafilu loy kosfu bo v'ishtimodinhu, if edim would write a document saying that we saw this woman do chalitza from ploni, from so-and-so, the yavam, even if they wouldn't write, and we know her, chayshina shema tara gets in the basin, we're suspicious that she might then show this document to someone else, to another court, v'yismuchu alav, and they'll rely on it, v'lo yivdiku, and they won't check out, imploni zeh hakosuv b'get zeh, Yivamahu Imlav. They won't ascertain whether the name written in the in this document is in fact the Yavam. The Asiwa saw, and they will enable her to marry Vyu Toyin Bahalocha, and they'll be they're allowing her to marry someone else will be a mistake. Shein Yoidim. Their problem is they don't know. The second court doesn't know Shecholtzman that Chalitza and Min could take place. Afal be Shein Makirin, even without the original court recognizing them, knowing them. Now, as a result of that, Lefikoch Rashi goes on. Hoyol v'ein Cholzin. Oh no, I'm sorry. We will read this. This Rashi is relevant to the next installment. So now we go back to the Gemara. The Rava Didei Omar, Ein Cholzin Elohim Kein Makirin, Vein Mimanin Elohim Kein Makirin. According to Rava, the initial court cannot act allow a chalitza or miyun to take place in their presence unless they know the couple to be an actual couple. So according to Rava himself, a chalitza is going to be taking place only because the judges present know that this woman is the wife, the ketana wife of this man, or that this woman is the yavama, the sister-in-law of this man from whom she is removing the shoe. Lefikach, because of this, Kaisvin get chalitza af api she'ein makir, v'kaisvin get miyun af api she'ein makir, and therefore the witnesses can prepare a document putting in the names of the couple, even if the witnesses themselves don't recognize them personally. They know that the court checked them out. Velo chayshinon lebeisdin tayin. And as far as from the witnesses' vantage point, we don't worry about the first court allowing a chalitza miyun to take place without actually ascertaining their identity, without actually knowing that the couple is a real yibum couple or miyun couple. We now continue with the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis. Before we continue the text, we glance at the side where we've written Seder Tahalich Achalitza. We'll be exposing this mission to the actual order of events that take place during a chalitza, and a special emphasis will be placed on kriyas apsukim akshurim lechalitza, the recitation of psukim, of verses from the Torah that are part of the chalitza ceremony. And this is found in chapter Chofei, Perek Chofei of Sefer Dvorim. The Mishnah. Mitzvas chalitza, Bohu v'yavimto lebeisdin, the couple, the brother-in-law and sister-in-law, come to the court. V'hein masin lo eitzal genislo, and if there's a major age discrepancy, for example, between the couple, so the court will counsel him not to continue with a yibum marriage, but rather to proceed with chalitza. Shneamar v'koru lo zikne iro v'dibru elov, and from that we learn that they speak with him concerning this matter, giving him proper counsel. V'hi omeres, and then she says, this is posuk zayin, me'ein yivomi lahakim lahiv shem b'Yisrael v'lo ovo yavmi. The Yavam doesn't want to establish his brother's name. He doesn't want to marry me. V'hu omer, and then he says the end of posuk ches, lo chafatzti lekachto, I don't want to take her. Uveloshen hakodesh hoy omrim, and the recitation must be in Hebrew, in the original language, language of the Torah. V'niksha yivimto elov li'enei hazakenim, v'cholsa na'aloi me'al raglo, v'yorka b'fonov. The words we've emphasized are the words that constitute the order with the dashed underlining. Like we had before, we had emphasized he omer, she says, and then he says. And now this pasuk indicates that now time for shoe removal has come about, and then there is spitting. And the next three words we put in brackets simply because these are not from the Torah itself. The pasuk will continue after the brackets, but these are simply Mishnah descriptive words of what the Torah said. The Torah said, she spits in his presence. Roi kanira ledayonim. It's not just some type of a very fine saliva that she emits, but it has to be an amount of saliva that is visible, that's noticeable to the judges present. The ansa, the Omra, and she the pasuk goes on to say that she shall now say, "Kocho yaseliish asher lo yivneh es beis achiv." So that's what she says. Thusly is done to a man that does not establish the house of his brother, his deceased brother. Ad kan hoyu makrin. Up till this point is what the judges would read for them, and they would repeat. Ukshehikra Rabbi Urkin istacha sa'ola b'kfar etam v'gomar es kol ha'parsha. In Kfar Etam is the name of a place when a yibum, when a chalitza took place under the auspices of Rabbi Hurkinus, tachas ha'ola. Ola is a tree under a certain type of tree in that particular location. They would the whole parsha, the whole section would be read, and when he would finish reading that section, v'nikro shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanal. This pasuk tells us that the following proclamation would be made, mitzvah b'dayonim. It would be the mitzvah of the dayonim to say this, and v'lo mitzvah tamidim. Now, to say what we're going to see in a moment. From this pasuk that we just read, v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanal, we're going to see that there's one opinion that says it's the mitzvah of the dayonim, the low mitzvah of tamidim, and not the mitzvah of tamidim, the tamidim who are sitting there present there when it takes place. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitzvah al kol ha'imdim sham. It's a mitzvah on everyone to speak up, lomar, to say chalutz hanal. This is the expression we saw at the end of pasuk Yud. There's a type of, we'll say, chorus or proclamation made on the part of those that are present when this is taking place. They say, Chalutz Hanal. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Mitzvahs Chalitza. The Mitzvah of Chalitza is, and here these are words that indicate the order of events. And these words are that which we attempted to highlight when we were reading the Mishnah with the dashed underlining. Korah, that she says something, and that we could see on the fourth line from the top, where we had dashed underlined Vehi Omeris, that's what Reviewed is referring to here. Korah, she reads, the Korei, and then he reads, the Choletzes, the Rokikah, the Korah. The Gemara asks, my Komashmalon, what is Rav Yehuda telling us? Masnisenhe, that is what our Mishnah teaches. So is he, what is Rav Yehuda coming to Mechadish to us? Ha komash malon. What Rav Yehuda wants to tell us is as follows. Mitzvah hachi, the opich les lanba. Rav Yehuda said, this is the mitzvah of chalitza, meaning this is the best way, the proper way to do it. But if there is a switch around of things, it doesn't ruin the validity of the ceremony. Tanya nami hachi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Bein shehikdim chalitza l'rikika. Bein shehikdim rikika l'chalitza. Whether chalitza was done before rikika or rikika was done before chalitza, ma she'osa osi, that which is as was done is done. Meaning, it's kosher. As we go on, we have a note on the side, the nosei mivneh heading, where you see a double underline will highlight the names Abaye and Rava. And that you'll see a diamond that's used man de makri, man de kosav, hatsorech ledayik bekriyas apsukim uvksivas get chalitza. The Gemara will highlight certain details regarding the recitation of the psukim and the writing of the get chalitza, the document indicating that a chalitza had taken place. Abaye the Rava Cholkim im yesh lahakpid bekriyas hapsukim loy lahafsik ben milim mesu yomois. We will see Abaye and Rava arguing whether there is a necessity of pausing, of avoiding a pause, whether it's important to avoid a pause between certain words. According to Abaye, we will see that if one does pause, it will create not only a misimpression, but it'll express an opposite meaning of what's supposed to be happening. According to Rava, we will find that the pause doesn't present a problem, because he has to finish off the verse anyway. Now the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Hai man de makri get chalitza. The one who is reading the psukim that are part of the chalitza ceremony, lo likri ledida, he shouldn't say to the woman who would be repeating after her, but he should not say as follows: the word lo lichude ve'ovo yivmi lichude. In the original pasuk, and you can just glance back at the Mishnah, you'll see on the fifth line from the top, she is saying a pasuk mein yivomi lelkim shem alachiv Yisrael lo ava yabmi. Now that phrase lo ava yabmi, he doesn't, means the brother-in-law, he doesn't want to marry me. So Abaye is telling us, don't read it to her as lo and then pause ava yabmi. The mashma, because if a person says it that way with the pause, it implies ovo yabmi. The separation of the word lo, which is the negation word, from ovo yabmi creates the impression that that he does want to marry her. And in order to avoid that misunderstanding, ela re lo ovo yabmi, in one breath, so to speak, without a pause. For lo likri l'diday, and when reciting the pasuk for the yavam to repeat, don't read to him lo l'chudei, the word lo by itself, and chafatzti l'chudei. Demashma, by creating a gap, you are creating an impression that I want to take her, I want to marry her. Elo, rather read without a pause, lo chofatzti lekachto, I do not want to take her. Rava Omar, asuki milsahi. Asuki means to finish something off. You have psukim that are going to be read till the end to the respective parties. Asuki milso leslan bon, since they're going to be reading till the end of their respective verses, so we're not worried about it about this false impression being created. Ravashi Ashkel Rav Kahana the Kometzayir Umakri lo avoyavmi. Ravashi saw Rav Kahana straining to avoid a pause, to making sure it would be read smoothly without any pause. Omar Lei, Ravashi asks Rav Kahana, lo sover loy mor loha de Rava, do you not hold from what Rava said? Namely, Rava spoke about asuki milsa is something that doesn't have to, since you're going to finish it off, you don't have to worry about the pause. Omar Lei, Rav Kahana answers, Moide Rava. Rava concedes, though, that you do have to be careful below Avo Yavmi. Regarding that pasuk, where the woman is going to have to recite it, there should be no pause. Omar Abaye, Haiman de Kosav Gita de Chalitzta, Lichtoiv Hochi. Akrinuha ledida min me'ein yabmi ad ovo yavni. That they should the get chalitza, which is a document testifying to the chalitza having taken place. So he should write the following: that we akrinuha, we read to her from me'ein yavmi. That's from that's pasuk zayin in perikofei until ad avo yavmi, until means until the end of the pasuk. Vakrinuha l'didei min lo, and we read to him from the middle of pasuk ches, which you see the word lo there, ad l'kachta, means until the end of the pasuk. Vakrinuha l'dida min kocha, and we read to her from the middle of pasuk tesmur kocha, v'ad chalotzanal, which is the end of pasuk yud. Marzutra misartet v'kosiv l'kula parsha. Rav Marzutra would write the entire section of the Torah dealing with the chalitza. Misartet means he would underline the psukim. The need for underlining takes place when you write three letters of a verse. Four words from a Torah pasuk, four words or more. There, one has to do sirtut. He has to do this aligning of the paper, if you will, that on which these are being written. The term sirtut, by the way, in the context of, let's say, preparing a pair of tefillin, there's sirtut is what we call overlining. It's lines that are etched into the parchment, which represent the top of the letters forming the row of words. So we can call it overlining. Maskif lo mor bar idi v'ha lo nitan likosev. Mor bar idi raises a question from an area of halacha dealing with the writing of the Torah. According to the Gemara, you find in Maseches Gittin, when you're writing a Torah, you have to write a complete book, or if you want to write a Torah scroll, you can write a complete Sefer Brachos, or certainly a complete Sefer Torah, but writing excerpts from the Torah, that's not allowed. And that's what Mor bar Idi is asking. Isn't it so that it's not allowed to write just a little section here? You're writing several psukim from Dvorim, Perikof Hei, psukim Zayin through Yud. You can't write that over. Yeah, that's you're writing isolated psukim. That's Mor bar Idi's question. V'hilchusa kavosei de Marzutra. However, the Gemara says that what Marzutra did is okay. It's acceptable. And if we take a look at Rashi, because this Gemara is very, very terse, Rashi gives us a little more information. A little more than halfway down the Rashi column, v'holo nitnu likosev. This was Mor bar Idi's question. V'holo nitnu likosev parsha b'fnei atzmo. You can't write a section of the Torah by itself. Maseches Gittin perikah nisokin tikotoni. It says there ain kosvin megillah latinok l'slamik bo. You can't write parshios of the Torah for children to learn from them. Children have to learn from complete scrolls, not from excerpts, not from partial sections. V'hilchusok marzutcho de kosvin. So Rashi continues, the lo domi lekosim yilatinik l'slamibo. This issue here is not parallel to the rules concerning that which you are allowed and not allowed to write for educational purposes. The Hassam Adaita de Parshosa Kosivle de Teve Kimigilikitana. There, you're writing it to represent a section of the Torah for Torah learning purposes. The Kimlon Torah Hasuma Nitna. And we have as our tradition that the Torah was given as a complete work. Avohai, but in our case of the document being written for the court in the event of a chalitza is Sfiras Dvorim Hu. It's writing a report of what took place. The Lo B'Kiddush Shosei Hu. It is not an item written to represent a holy scroll. Hilkoch Ilchisok Marzucha de Bemoku Mitzvah Shari. And therefore, since we're working in the context of a mitzvah, if you are simply reporting the events that took place in the mitzvah context, so you can write abbreviated sections of the Torah, so short sections, excerpts, and not worry about the iser of preparing partial scrolls. That when your intention is to prepare a scroll for the sake of the scroll, where your goal is to prepare a Torah for Torah learning purposes, then you have to prepare complete scrolls, not partials, not sections. However, where what is being prepared is for the purpose of Sfiras Dvorim B'Alma, to tell over about events that had transpired, so then the sectional, partial type writing can be done. Omar Abaye, we have a note on the side of the Nosei, which reads, Trifim Liroi Sorok. There's necessity for the rope, for the saliva that's being spit, to be visible. Omar Rava Rokika V'Kaltosoi Haruach Loi Osa V'Loi Klum. If she spit and it was done in the wind, so much the wind was strong enough that it suspended the spit in midair, and it never descended to be in front of the Yavam. He didn't see it. It's there. It's not effective. It's she hasn't done anything. She hasn't accomplished what she's supposed to do. My time, huh? Why is that? That's so because the pasuk says v'yarka b'fanav bo'inan. We need the rope to reach a point in front of his face. But if the wind catches it and blows it away, that's what the koltoso haruach means. It blew it away from in front of him. So therefore, the that which the pasuk requires has not been fulfilled. We continue. Hilkoch, as a result of this analysis, Hu aruch v'hi gutza. If he is tall and she is short, kol tasei ruach, and the wind was blowing and raised the saliva from her mouth, and raised it upwards, up and away, well, ika b'funav, you do have a moment at which it is in front of him. He aruka v'hugutz, if she's tall and he is short, bo'inon ademoti lahadi ape v'hoder ozil. If she's tall and he's short, so she produces the saliva and has to come out of her mouth and then start descending to a point at which it ends up in front of this short yavam. And when that happens, then she's free to go. She's free to marry someone else. Omar Rava, Ochlo Tuma V'Roksa, a woman who ate garlic and then spit. Ochlo Gargishta V'Roksa, she ate a clod of earth and then spit. Lo Osta V'Lo Klum. The spitting under those circumstances is not effective. My taima, why is that? V'yorka me'atzma bo'inon v'leku. We need the saliva that she spits to be produced, that she on her own produces it without the aid of these other substances. V'yomar rava tzrifi dayoni lemechsi roika hinofik mipuma diavoma. The judges have to see the saliva as it comes forth from her mouth. Tichtiv le'ine hazikenim v'yarka. First, the saliva is produced and accumulated on her lips, coming out of her mouth, and then she spits it. And with that, so the judges will see the rope as she is then spinning it. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanal, that we saw in the pasuk. Mitzvah b'dayonim v'lo b'taminim, we saw in the Mishnah, the first opinion was that is something for the judges to recite, not for the others that are assembled there. Tanya, Om Rabbi Yehuda, pamachas hoyinu yoshim lefnei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Yehuda tells us that we were once seated in the presence of Rabbi Tarfon, ubos yivoma lachlots, and the yivoma came for chalitza, v'yomar lonu, and Rabbi Tarfon told us, the assembled there, anu kulchem chalutzanal, chalutzanal, chalutzanal. And he said, I want you then to say chalutzanal, and in effect, three times. Before we conclude, let us remind you that we can be reached if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras. We can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.